Much when God is in it. That's a great thought. Praise the Lord for it. You know, it doesn't take a lot for the Lord to do a mighty work. It's not how much we give to Him. It's how much we give of what we have that matters. If you give Him everything you have, He can do mighty works with it. We serve a God that is not limited with our limits. He doesn't just use those who have great abilities. He uses those who are available. That's who He uses. I appreciate that song. God bless you. Take your Bible again. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 14. We're giving you part two to a message I began this morning on the death of John the Baptist. The death of John the Baptist. This is part number two. For time's sake tonight, we'll just read one verse of Scripture, verse number 10. This is the he here is Herod, the Bible says, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And again, the title of our message, The Death of John the Baptist. This is part number two. Father, help us tonight to be drawn heavenward. And I pray in my own heart and life, if there's anything, and I mean anything, that is hindering you, would you forgive me? Get it out of my life. And may you be completely free in me tonight, I pray. Forgive our sins, help us to be clean vessels. Speak to us through your word. Draw us closer to yourself. We who are saved, make us better Christians. And maybe somebody lost tonight, would you speak to their heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this will be repeat just in the introduction here. And as we come to this chapter, we're given a story concerning a man by the name of Herod, the Tetrarch. To make a long story short, as you read down through these verses, verses 1 to 12, we see that Herod's birthday has come. He has given himself a birthday party, and this birthday party spins out of control. We notice that he is involved in an adulterous relationship with his brother Philip's wife. John the Baptist has condemned him and spoken the word of God boldly in his face. He didn't like it very much and threw John the Baptist into prison. And during this birthday party, Herodias, this lady that he's committing adultery with, has a daughter. It's commonly known that her name is Salome. And she comes out and does some kind of seductive dance in front of him and all these ungodly guests that he has. Make a long story short, she pleases him and he hurriedly just makes her a promise. Anything she asks, he'll give it to her. She runs to her mommy. What a blessing that woman was. And ask her, what should I ask for? And she without hesitation said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. So she goes back and tells Herod the Tetrarch, I want John the Baptist's head put on a charger. That's a platter. That's a plate. And Herod, the Bible says he was sorry. The book of Mark, I think it says he was exceeding sorry, but he looked around and saw everybody sitting with him, and he went ahead and gave the orders anyway. The executioner went that day and went into John's prison cell and laid that dear man of God's head out some way and cut it and severed it from his body. Put his head on a platter and brought it back to this daughter, and this ungodly daughter took it to her mother. And as you think of a story like this, when you come down to the opening part of this chapter, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing mighty works. And we see that Herod the Tetrarch, his conscience is bothering him because he thinks that Jesus is John the Baptist risen from the dead. And we're looking at this story together and just bringing out some practical truths, just giving practical thoughts for everyday life. This morning we gave you three of them. I'll just mention them now, and I've got three more tonight. Number one, we notice, first of all, have a godly testimony. And if you remember, you can go back and get it from this morning if you want it. But it's interesting to me that Herod the Tetrarch, this ungodly man, the Bible says in the book of Mark, the account of the same story said he knew that John was a just man and he knew John was a holy man. God spoke to my heart how even the ungodly men of that generation knew there was something different about John the Baptist. What a testimony that man had. Secondly, we noticed this morning that we're to be careful with the entertainment that we choose. Because Herod chose to entertain himself with this ungodly girl dancing in front of him, we see that the entertainment that he chose helped cause him to lower his own standards, if you will, and his mind was clouded, and he opened the door for John's enemy to have her way. In the same way, how you choose to entertain yourself
either keeps the door shut to the devil or it opens it wide up. It's up to you. Third point we looked at this morning was your companions can influence your choices. It's interesting, I've already mentioned this, but whenever this daughter came and requested John the Baptist's head to be cut off of his body, the Bible says for the sake of his promise and for the sake of those that were sitting with him, he went ahead and did this evil deed. And we see that those who surrounded him, those he chose to invite to his own party, helped him make an ungodly decision. And you need to be careful with the friends that you have. Then we pick up our fourth point tonight. These points are so practical, it's ridiculous, and I know that. But I want you to understand something as your pastor. I want to give you just a little secret glimpse into my prayer life. I'm asking and begging God to make me practical. God, help me to be a preacher that people can understand what I'm saying. Because if by the time this message is over, if you get up and you didn't understand what you heard, it can't help you. At the same time, if you understand what it is, you're responsible for what you hear. And God wants you to put it into practice. Number four tonight, this is right from the text. Here it is. A parent has influence over their children. A parent has influence over their children. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 14. And she being before instructed, talking about the daughter, she being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. Look at verse number 11. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Now here we have a young girl. We're not real sure how old she was, but we know that she's the daughter of Herodias, the one that Herod is ungodly yoked up with. And we see that this young girl has been flaunting herself in front of a bunch of men at her stepfather's birthday party. She's danced ungodly and pleased this ungodly king. And it's interesting that he comes to this young girl, very impressionable, I'm sure, and says, I'll give you anything. Whatever you want, it's yours. No doubt there could have been many things that could have run through her mind at that moment. This is my time to get rich. This is my time to make a name for myself. I want popularity. I want everybody in the kingdom to know me. No, I want all the money you can give to me. Can you just imagine if a teenage young girl sitting here tonight was offered anything she wanted? What would she ask for? But God showed me something. We see that instead of her just blurting out something that she wanted down deep, she did something interesting. She went to her mother and she asked her mom, what should I ask for? Matthew tells us here that she was instructed of her mother to give her the head of John the Baptist. Now get this, there's no hint of this girl ever hesitating in fulfilling the wishes of her wicked mother. She went straight to King Herod and made this ungodly request. In other words, anybody with a conscience would stop and say, I don't know about that, Mama. Let's at least stop and think about that. But you don't even see a hint of this girl ever hesitating. The point the Lord brought to my attention here is how this ungodly mother had such an ungodly influence on her daughter. Herodias was holding a grudge against John the Baptist, and she influenced her own daughter to help her commit her ungodly desires. Now it's time for all of us who are parents to realize something. If you're a parent, would you raise your hand? I'm talking to you. You listening to me? It is time for every parent to realize something, that you have major influence on your children. This can be a great blessing, but in this story we see it was a great wickedness. If you have a grudge in your heart against somebody, please get it out, or your children can be affected by it. I ask you tonight, with your children following in your footprints, where will they end up in life? How are you influencing your kids? Are you influencing your children toward the Lord, or are you influencing your kids away from Him? And like I said this morning, there is no middle ground in that. You are either influencing your children to the Lord, or you're influencing them away from God. And by the way, do you understand that good, godly people can help create ungodly children? Now, I'm not saying that if you live godly in front of them, that it's a guaranteed fact that they'll turn out right. But here's what I'm saying. Read the book of Judges and read it for yourself. Many of you have heard me preach that sermon on the danger of disobedience. I'm not going to re-preach it here because I'm preaching another message. But we see that Joshua, the mighty man of God, and his generation who knew God and loved God and saw God's mighty works, Judges chapter 1, they had a command to kick everybody out, kill everybody off, don't let anything stay, tear down their altars, break down their groves. But they decided when it got a little bit difficult that they would hold back a little bit. And at that time, they started to disobey God. And then in chapter 2, verse 10, when Joshua was dead and that generation was dead, that generation who loved God and knew God and saw his mighty works, the Bible says in Joshua, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, that there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. We see that the godly generation in Judges chapter 1 helped create an ungodly generation in Judges chapter 2. I'm telling you that a parent has influence over their children. And we see that this ungodly lady, Herodias, she contaminated her own daughter. She had no problem with her daughter going out and flaunting herself in some seductive dance. And when she came to her, she had no problem sucking her daughter in with her and saying, "Give me the head of John the Baptist." I'm telling you that a parent influences their children. And we need to make sure that we're influencing our children in a way that pleases God and not the devil. Parents influence their children. That's number 4. Let me give you number 5, and this is where God dealt in my heart. Sitting there I'm talking about my dining room table. Dining room and kitchen is one at my house, friends. I'm talking about, we're not very big, but we got plenty. I'm a small man, amen. What I'm saying to you, here's number 5. God spoke to me. I like it. Here it is. Death is not the end for the child of God. Now you say, "Jody, what are you talking about?" The Lord brought this out. I had a commentary help me by the name of Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he brought out something here, and when I saw this, I about lost it, friends. Look at verse number 11. Notice the language. "And his head was brought in a charger," John, "and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother." Notice verse 12. "And his disciples came and took the body and buried" what? "Buried it. And went and told Jesus." And you say, what's the point? Here's the point. The Word of God is silent about what John was feeling at this time. You know, our minds can only imagine what John the Baptist was thinking this day that his head would be severed from his body. We can only imagine that wicked day when John was in that prison cell, when the sound of somebody approaching got closer and closer. The door of his prison swung open. And we can only just imagine what was going through John's mind. There John the Baptist was, less than 34 years of age, sitting in that lonely dungeon simply for preaching the Word of God faithfully. What a man of God he truly was. This is the one who earlier in his life, when they thought maybe he was the Messiah, he said, "He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear." God began to speak to my heart about this dear man of God. There he is, sitting in that lonely dungeon, being faithful to God, faithful to God's word. This is the one that when the crowd started lifting his name up, he said, no, wait a minute. There's somebody coming after me that I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoestrings. I'm not worthy to even take the shoes off of his feet. This is the man who said later in life, when he heard that Jesus was doing mighty works, this is the same man that before he was put in prison, whatever the case may be, he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." What a man. What a man of God. What a servant of the King of Kings. Here he is now in that lonely dungeon. That ungodly birthday party taking place around him. The ungodly plot of that lady who is holding a grudge against him. And the order's been given, cut his head off. They go down, the executioner comes and takes John. And with one swing, John's head is severed from his body. His life was over. His earthly ministry had come to an end. Oh, but notice what the Word of God says. God's Word says that his disciples came, they took up the body, and they buried it. And I'm telling you, notice it didn't say that they buried John. Glory, hallelujah. It simply says they took his body and buried it. That's what it says. Mark said, and when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Notice the Bible did not say they buried John. Oh, at this moment that I was writing this out, sitting at my kitchen table, the Lord began to speak to my heart. They could cut off his head, but they couldn't kill John. Spurgeon said the real John no man could bury, and Herod soon found out that being dead, he yet spoke. With one swing, John was on the shore beyond death and knew his labors were not in vain. Spurgeon said, and I quote, John received a crown in heaven, though he lost his head on earth. Herod and Herodias may have thought that they had silenced this dear man of God's voice. They may have thought that John was gone and he would now rot in the grave, but not for the child of God, friends. Death is only the gateway to glory. I'm telling you that death is only one of the ways that God has chosen to open up glory for his precious children. John is still alive today. John is doing just fine today. And John is glad he bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I'm thinking about someday I'm going to be able to sit down with John the Baptist and say, tell me what you're thinking about. Tell me, was it worth it? Let me ask you a question, John. Do you really think that you're not worthy? May I answer that question? When we see Jesus, we're going to realize we're not worthy either. I'm talking about to step down and loose the sandals on his feet. I'm telling you that God showed me in this through my study that when a child of God dies, they may bury it, but they'll never bury him. Somebody say amen right there. Aren't you glad that death is not the end? If death was the end, where's our hope, friend? But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody says, where do you go when you die? Wherever Jesus is, and that sounds pretty good to me right there, amen. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with him. So that means if I drop dead right here, don't worry about me. You can take it, put it in the grave, but I have gone on to be with King Jesus. Aren't you glad death is not the end? This is number 5. May the Lord help us to see this. And here's number 6. I'm telling you, these are so simple it's ridiculous. I know that. I've said that over and over again. Maybe the Lord's answering my prayer. God, keep me simple. Just keep me simple. This is point number 6. Let me go back and just hit these right quick. Number 1, we've learned to have a godly testimony. We've learned number 2, be careful with your choice of entertainment. We've learned number 3, your companions can influence your choices. We've learned number 4, a parent has influence over their children. Make sure your influence is godly influence. We've learned number 5, that death is not the end for the child of God. And we learned number 6, here it is. Just tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. We see this in verse number 12 of our text. Notice it. And his disciples. Whose disciples? John's disciples. And John's disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. I like that. John the Baptist, this mighty man of God, has just been beheaded. His disciples, no doubt, had been influenced by him, or they wouldn't be his disciples. They have just buried his earthly remains. You go back in your mind's eye, and again, this is just sanctified imagination, but we can only imagine the brokenness among the disciples of John. I want you to think about somebody who's really influenced your life. I'm talking about for God, for good. Think about them. You got them in your mind right now? What would you do if they were put into a lonely dungeon for preaching the Bible? And what would you do if the ungodly leader of that day was having a birthday party and was entertaining himself with some ungodly things? And through that, he made an ungodly promise. And those ungodly ladies, I know it's a lot of ungodly here, trying to show you something, made an ungodly request. And they go and they cut his head off. And they call you. And you walk into that prison cell, and there lays the headless body of that dear man who poured his life out to influence your life. I don't think they were jumping up for joy. I don't think they were very excited about that. I personally believe they were brokenhearted. We can only imagine how they must have felt. What would they do now? Where would they go now? This verse tells us that when they buried his corpse, they didn't know what to do. So they just went and told Jesus about it. Glory. This was certainly the right place to go and the right thing to do. Wickedness had just given a blow to godliness, and no doubt they were not excited but troubled at this time of brokenness and trouble. They made a precise decision to go and tell the Lord. What a lesson we can all learn right here. That when life throws a curveball at you, I'm talking about something happens, and it could be ungodly, whatever the case may be, could be just something just out of your control, but when life throws a curveball at you and your heart is breaking within your chest and you don't know what to do, just go tell Jesus about it. Glory. Hallelujah, I feel good right there. I feel good that when I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, there's somebody whose ears are always open to my cry. His name is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God spoke to them. The Lord loved them. The Lord cared about them. And my friends, He cares about you. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And when you don't know what to do and where to go, just go to Jesus and tell the Lord about it. Hebrews 4:15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. 1 Peter 5:8, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. I'm glad tonight that as we come to a close in this message, that this text ends with the word and the words, and went and told Jesus. King Herod was an ungodly man who lived to please himself. And in these verses, we saw him take the life of an innocent man of God. It's interesting to note how later in life the Lord Jesus treated this same Herod. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 11, this same Herod who cut the head of John the Baptist off when Jesus Christ was brought to him, the Bible says that Jesus did not speak a word to him. Jesus gave him the silent treatment. And I'm telling you something here. Herod had silenced the voice of Jesus' messenger. And now the Lord treated Herod with silence. What an awful and terrible commentary on somebody's life. Herod has been burning in hell for many, many years now. No doubt wishing he could come back to his own birthday party and wishing that he'd have made another decision. Tonight, I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but I know that He is speaking. And the reason I know He's speaking is because anytime His Word is opened and preached, the voice of God is speaking to us. What is He saying to you? Tonight we looked at three major things. If you're a parent, you influence your children. Make sure it's the right kind of influence. Death for a child of God, it's not the end. It's only the gateway to glory. I'm telling you, they couldn't bury John. They could only bury his earthly remains. And then when your heart is broken and your heart inside feels like it can't take anymore, and maybe the tears are coming out of your face, you don't know where to go and what to say. We learn from this story that the disciples of John, no doubt brokenhearted, took his body, buried it, went up, got to Jesus, and told him all about it. Did the Lord already know about it? Sure he did. But it's interesting, in a precious, precious thought from the Word of God, that the Bible says these disciples came and they told him. He already knew. But he didn't stop them and say, I already know about that. You know what he did? He listened. And God can listen and will listen to you. Tell it to Jesus. Aren't you glad? Excuse me, I'm not trying to offend somebody. But aren't you glad we're not Catholic? Aren't you glad you don't have to come to me in some kind of a turned around collar and look at me in the face and say, here's what my troubles are? You don't have to come to me. I can't help you anyway. But I know somebody who can. Tell it to Jesus. Talk to him about it. And the Lord will give you victory. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, this chapter and these verses are such a challenge to our hearts. Help us to understand. Do business with us, Jesus. Do thorough business with us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you a born-again child of God? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? I mean, do you really know Jesus as your Savior? Have you repented of your sin and received Him into your heart? If you haven't, why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or tonight, the three major points were this. If you're a parent, you have influence. Death for a child of God is not the end. And when your heart is broken and you don't know what to do, just tell it to Jesus. What is God speaking to you about? I think it'd be great for some parents to get on their face before God. I think it'd be great for some parents to come and say, God, make me the influence you want me to be. I think it'd be great tonight for somebody who has a burden, maybe nobody else even knows about it, but you come and just lay it at the feet of Jesus and just tell the Lord about it. Talk to Jesus. There's several already responded. There's still time for you. Let's all stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, take it, use it. Break this message and use it in any way you see fit, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Folks have responded. Come, talk to God about this. Talk to God. Tell it to Jesus.
Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus.
Sing it if you know it.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
If you're standing, you can look this way. They're playing through. Folks have responded. There's still time for you. The life of John the Baptist has challenged your pastor this week. He was a little younger than I am when he met Jesus. He met him in bodily form too. But I'm talking about in glory. What a challenge that man of God is to our hearts. Does that not speak volumes to you, friends? That over 2,000 years ago, thereabouts, John the Baptist has been in heaven. And God has met with us in 2012 and challenging us with that man's life. See, God has a way that when a man's body dies, his testimony lives on. I think about people who with the Lord, their life is such a challenge. I'm thinking about Mr. Olin Curley. I'm thinking about Mr. Keith Kaiser. I'm thinking about my own great-granddaddy. Make sure if God tarries and He takes you home, that your life will challenge people when you're dead and gone. This is one of the thoughts. May the Lord help us. Let's sing that first verse one more time, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, there's still time for you. If nobody else does, this will be it. Let's sing it together.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone.
This is it.
Tell it. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Our Father, we thank you for how you've spoken to our hearts this day. Thank you for using your word again on this earth. Thank you that we hold the eternal word of God in our hands tonight. And you're doing a great work through it. Help us to heed the message, to understand it, to live it. Lord, to influence our children right. To have a good testimony. Be careful with the entertainment we choose and the companions that we choose. And help us every area of our life to simply tell you about it. Spend time with you on a daily basis, praying and talking to you. Keep your hand upon us, I pray, upon this church. Please keep the devil out. Please protect us from on high. And help us to go forward as a body of believers, trying to reach a lost and dying world. And may thy will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you.